Please turn your Bibles with me to the book of Joshua. The book of Joshua, chapter 8 is where we'll be together tonight for a few moments. Joshua chapter 8. We'll continue there. It's been a few weeks since we've been here together. It's been about 3 weeks where we began chapter 8. And started off in the first few verses there, Joshua chapter 8. And verse 1 I'll read, "And the Lord said unto Joshua, Fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Take all the people of war with thee, and arise, and go up to Ai. See, I have given into thy hand the king of Ai, and his people, and his city, and his land. And thou shalt do to Ai as her and her king, as thou didst unto Jericho and her king. Only the spoil thereof and the cattle thereof shall ye take for a prey unto yourselves." Now, this is where we'll speak about a little bit tonight. This phrase here that basically the next 15 or so verses are going to be a description of this phrase. And that is, lay thee an ambush for the city behind it. All right. So this, again, is a very different strategy from what they had with Jericho. But nevertheless, it is the plan of God. And I believe we all can agree together tonight that God doesn't always lead in the same way every time. It's amazing how God keeps us, I should say, on our toes. Sometimes God may lead in quickly. Maybe that's a quick answer to prayer. Maybe the prayer is there's a lot of waiting time. It's in a totally different way than we imagined that the answer to prayer would come to pass. There's just so many variables when it comes to the way God leads, but this is one thing that we can be assured of. If we will follow His Word, we will be secure, we will be safe, and we will be protected and empowered by the hand of God. We will remain steadfast. And I believe that's what Joshua was learning. They got a little cocky there and prideful there when the first attack on this city. And of course, we know what happened. It backfired on them and they were humbled. And so the message last time, on this passage of scripture is that we got to try again. Time to try again. And how we learned, and I'm so thankful, God is the God of second chances. God is a God of renewal. God is a God of mercy. And He used that situation to help the children of Israel to go forth in victory. So what we have here, notice verse 3. "So Joshua arose and the people of war to go up against Ai, and Joshua chose out," how many? 30,000 mighty men of valor, "and sent them away by night." Now, it's interesting, I don't have a map to show you tonight, but it is, again, the strategy that was put forth. There was a smaller group that was to go and to be the group that would deter Ai and would set up the ambush and would be that group that God would use to draw them out of the city. And the Bible goes on to tell us that every one of them left the city of Ai. Every one of them were drawn out to attack this small group that Joshua had sent out as a decoy, if you will, something just to draw them out and to trick them. And it says there that they will think that this is the major Israeli army that is coming after us. And when they did that, the small group would retreat and would draw them all the way out of the city to the point where the larger group, because you got 30,000 soldiers split up in about two or three different sections. And so when the smaller group went out of the city, the other group would surround the city quickly and take it over. And there they would start destroying the city. And then, of course, when they look back, the other group, when Ai was out of the city pursuing the other Israelites, they would look back and they saw the smoke and realize, boy, something bad is going wrong here. We've been taken. But by that time, they're still pursuing.
And Joshua and the larger group is going to get back with the other half of all the Israeli soldiers. And then they're going to hit them again from both sides. And so what an incredible strategy that God put forth in giving the nation of Israel a great victory. And one of the things I'm reminded of tonight, church, is that, you know, there are times where God will give us specific strategies to overcome certain enemies. It might be a strategy that He gives us to overcome our flesh. There may be certain things that we need to implement to overcome those besetting sins. It might be something that we have to do because Satan is attacking a certain area in our lives. Maybe attacking a certain loved one or whatever the case may be. And we have to listen to the voice of God of how we can combat the enemy. There's also the world. How do we avoid the attacks of the world and being able to set up a strategy? Parents here tonight, grandparents, you realize that it is necessary for you to be able to parent in a victorious fashion, in an effective fashion. You got to have strategy. You got to have a plan. You know, it's not just going to happen by accident. And so I do believe that Joshua is going to take God at His word here. And it's a unconventional way of battle, if you will, in some ways, as far as what we're going to see here. It's going to be God telling him to hold up the spear and point it towards the city. And when he does that, that's when he'll know to give the final destruction. Well, hey, listen, we've seen that in Scripture. God tells Moses, remember, to hold up that rod, that staff, and as a symbol of victory. And one of the things that I believe that we can do tonight, ladies and gentlemen, is we can hold up our heads high, believing that God is leading us in this Christian life through the hard times, through the things that make no sense, the things that seem like perhaps are a defeat, but God is leading. Now, I would say that there may have been some people in here that were doubting whether or not this whole strategy was going to work. But Joshua was a godly leader. Someone I want to follow in his footsteps. Because, you know, it even talks about there in verse 9 how Joshua therefore sent them forth and they went to lie in ambush and notice there and abode between Bethel and Ai on the west side of Ai. But notice what it says, but Joshua lodged that night among the people. Please, servant leaders here tonight, as leaders and people that seek to have influence, a godly influence, Joshua was one that lodged with his army. He certainly was setting the example that we're going to trust the Lord. Dads here tonight, men that are seeking to be leaders in your home and moms and sisters, co-workers, understand that is the job of a leader, is to be willing to be with the people, to be among them, and to be one who would say, we're going to trust the Lord to give the victory. And that's what happens. He's going to trust them to believe the promise that they learned back in chapter 5, that there's the captain of the Lord of hosts. That would be there with them, that would fight their battle and lead the way. It's simply our responsibility to trust the promises of God. Now, again, there was a responsibility on their part. They had to put forth the effort of setting forth a strategy. I believe we talked about that last time, just the wisdom that God can give. If any man lack wisdom, let him do what? Let him ask of God. Who does what? Gives to all men what? Liberally. He gives that wisdom in abundance. And what does he not do? Unbraideth not. He doesn't withhold it. He doesn't restrain. He doesn't keep back. He's going to give it, but let him or her ask in faith. Not wavering. believing the Lord. And I believe Joshua was setting forth this, and he believed that the plan of God would work. And by the way, be encouraged tonight. Do you believe the plan of God is working right now? Sometimes I get the impression, talking to some Christians out there in the world today, they don't quite believe that God's plan is working. It's like, whoa, wait a minute. I believe we got to be strategic. I believe we need to be vigilant like Joshua was. It's just obvious. He was ready. But at the same time, he believed that what we needed to do is we needed to trust God to provide for us, to lead the way in the battle, and provide that supernatural power that only He can give. And so we see here. Now, I want to point out something here in verse 11. Not trying to read too much in the Scriptures, but I do want just to draw a principle of a truth here. Notice verse 11. It says, "And all the people, even the people of war that were with him, went up and drew nigh and came before the city and pitched on the north side of Ai." Now notice this next phrase. "Now there was a valley between them and Ai." And brethren, I want us to realize something tonight. I'm not trying to be a discourager here. I'm trying to be the opposite. But one thing we need to learn as believers is that there's always going to be a valley between us and victory. God is not going to give us victory without a battle. And any time in the Lord's work, there's those valleys that must be crossed. And God will lead us through those valleys, just as the psalmist believed that the shepherd would lead him through the valley of death. He wouldn't fear any evil. And we see that Joshua again is taking the leading here. And we too, brethren, must realize we've got to do what God's called us to do. Now listen, the strategy worked, didn't it? Look at verse 14. It says, "And it came to pass when the king of Ai saw it, that they hasted and rose up early, and the men of the city went out against Israel to battle, he and all his people, at a time appointed before the plain. And he wist not that there were liars in ambush against him behind the city." So the strategy worked. And they would go forth and ultimately destroy that city. But no man would be left in Ai or Bethel. In verse 17, we see that. Now, I do want us to notice one thing, and part of God's strategy is this. Now, this will be one of the hardest things that we do in our Christian discipline. Verse 18. "And the Lord said unto Joshua." Now, up to this point, there was no other steps made. Okay? Part of the strategy that Joshua had, and that one of the things that we have to do every day, every week, is this: waiting on the Lord. Waiting is no fun, is it? It's just not. It's not fun. It's not pleasant. But what God is doing in our lives, He is going to get us to wait on Him, to watch His hand work, because notice what happens. It says, "And the Lord said unto Joshua," because after they had left no man in Ai, the Bible says they left the city open and pursued after Israel. "And the Lord said unto Joshua, stretch out the spear that is in thy hand toward Ai, for I will give it unto thine hand. And Joshua stretched out the spear that he had in his hand toward the city." Now again, that was God's word telling Joshua to do, even though that Joshua didn't know exactly how that was all going to turn out. But the ambush arose quickly and went forward, and the people had no power, as we read in verse 20. And Joshua saw in verse 21, all the Israel saw that ambush had taken place. And then the others would come in, and that's where we see they took the king of Ai, verse 23. They took him alive, brought him to Joshua. And then on through forth, as they chased the other ones out, in verse 25, we see that fell that day, both men and women were 12,000, even all the men of Ai. And they didn't hold back. They went ahead and destroyed the city. And we've talked about that before, that it may seem cruel, but for the Bible student, we understand that this is not the first time God has dealt with these people. They would have had light after light after light to come to Christ. And so we need to understand when somebody says, God, it seems so cruel. Well, listen, we got to understand these people could have very easily turned to the Lord through the light they had. But there was so much wickedness that was just prevalent in these cities among the Canaanites that God finally said, all right, judgment has come. And by the way, as we mentioned this morning, that's what will happen to the unbelievers. God's mercy will be exhausted, and when they die, they will have to face the wrath of God. Something that should just move us all in a sobering way. Then it goes on to say that they took the spoil there. Only the cattle and the spoil of the city took they, pray for themselves. That was not allowed at Jericho. But then we see the demise of the king of Ai and how he was destroyed. But then I want us to see verse 30. Verse 30 through verse 35 shows us not only after the great victory of the ambush, but we see a renewed nation. And by the way, that's what a valley and a battle will do. It will give you a sense of renewal in your walk with God. Notice what happens. Then Joshua built an altar unto the Lord God of Israel in Mount Ebal. And that was also a practice. We knew that we saw that he did that in Gilgal. Remember, they crossed the river. They built an altar. Remember at Jericho, they built an altar. It was a symbol of God's faithfulness, that God would bring them through. And then notice what's going to happen. Verses 31 through 35, Joshua is going to put a special emphasis on the word of God given by Moses for every person in every tribe of the nation. And not just the Israelites, but we're going to see also the strangers, people that were not born as Israelites, but those that had come from without the camp, from outside the camp. The Bible tells that all of them were gathered together, and notice what he's going to do. He wrote there upon the stones a copy of the law of Moses in verse 32. And he wrote in the presence of the children of Israel. Verse 33 is going to give a description, if you can imagine, all these thousands of people. And you say, how do all these thousands of people hear Joshua, what he's about to say? Imagine this valley that goes around where Joshua can speak, and it's like an amphitheater. And what we have today with our acoustics and whatnot, you can get certain buildings and certain places where sound can travel so very easily and fluidly. And so this was one of those situations. And notice all the people tuning in. Notice you have the elders. You have the officers, you have the judges, and they stood on this side of the ark, on that side before the priest, the Levites. So you got the priest that are there, and they bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, as well, notice, as the stranger, as he that was born among them, half of them over against Mount Gerizim, and half of them over against Mount Ebal. As Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded before that they should bless the people of Israel. Now, at this time, he's going to read all the words of the law. Now, notice the next two phrases that I think is important. He doesn't just talk about the blessings, does he? He talks about the blessings and what? So basically what he's saying there, he's saying, look, this is what God tells us in Deuteronomy. This is through the law of Moses. God will bless us if we do this. God will curse us if we do this. And what we see here is really, I believe, a time of revival. It's like the Word of God being renewed in the hearts of the people, like this is what God has blessed, said He would bless us or curse us. Which way are you going to choose? All the people present, and they were all focused on the Ark of the Covenant, which we learned earlier in Joshua is symbolic of what? The presence of God. The presence of the Lord. They desired to have the presence of God. And again, this is so different from what happened before with Achan. Achan sinned against the Lord. There was sin in the camp. And God just basically withdrew His blessings from the place. But there was a willingness for him to make it right. and or to come forward with it. And then basically it was dealt with, and God, Saul said, listen, we're going to give you another chance. And he did. And I love what it says here in verse 35. There was not a word of all that Moses commanded, which Joshua read, not before all the congregation of Israel with the women. And I love this one too, the next phrase, and the little ones. I love that, church. We can't neglect getting the little ones the Word of God. I think upon my little ones, and I think upon your little ones, and those that you have influence upon and made it a point for them to hear the Word of God. I'm thankful those that bring their children to church to hear the Word of God and to be impacted by it. And it says, and the strangers that were conversant among them. You know, tonight I think of the very fact that there was a valley, and there was a great battle, that a strategy was put forth, and there was a great victory. And what that brought forth is it brought forth Joshua building an altar before the Lord, saying, God, you have worked. And Joshua set an example. And when I look across this room, I look at leaders. I do. I look at leaders. And one of the things as leaders, we got to be ready to, and Brother Andrew knows this, and prior military, and just anybody in leadership positions, we know this. We can't ask people to do something that we're not willing to do ourselves. And that goes forth as far as our example. I'm reminded of that very often with my kids. Sometimes they remind me, and I'm thankful. I shouldn't get mad about that. I should be ready to be challenged. But Joshua, he knew what needed to be done. And I don't know what God's doing in your life tonight. I don't know what kind of strategy that God is leading you to put forth to fight the battles of the flesh, the world, and even Satan. But let's just stick with God's plan. We know what God has commanded us to do very clearly in the Word, and we stick with it. We do not budge. We stay faithful. I don't have the number here in front of me, but it just came to my mind, and maybe somebody knows here that's done a study in this, but how many times does God use the word stand in Ephesians chapter 6 in the area of spiritual warfare? It's like, stand. Don't budge. Just do. Brother Ralph, did you have a number there? Do you know? Okay. But it is. With all you're doing, with all, stand therefore. And it goes forward with the whole armor of God. So tonight, let's be encouraged. God is leading us on to victory. Again, there's much more that Joshua will see God do. Let's just let the Lord have His way. Would you pray with me?